I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Brian Gain met with the media earlier today, and he said a couple things that really stuck out to me. Specifically, and we know that it's lying season. We know that when GMs go up there at the podium, you got to take it with a grain of salt based on what they tell you, because they don't want to tip their hand. They don't want to tell you what their strategy is. They don't want other teams to figure out what exactly they're going to do. But Brian Gain, when he went up there today, one thing became extremely apparent. He loves the depth of this draft within the first 86 picks. And within the first 86 picks, your Houston Texans are going to have four draft picks, two draft picks in the second round. And it's very obvious with anything else that Brian Gain truly believes, and this is a direct quote from Brian Gain, he believes that he can draft four guys that will eventually start for your Houston Texans in the top 86. If nothing else, John Lopez, we know this. Brian Gain truly, and again, it is lying season, but Brian Gain truly believes, and he trusts himself that he can draft four future Texan starters in the first 86. And if he's right, everybody that was down on Brian Gain for the way in which he approached free agency should bow down to the Texans GM, because if you can get you four more starters on this after getting Justin Reed last year, potentially Rankin, this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, frankly, he has to get starters. Now, I'm not talking about immediate starters, and he wasn't talking about immediate starters. He was talking about down the road. But, you know, I've always believed that. I just use that term premium picks, and I consider that first, second, and third round. I consider those, if you're good, you get a starter there. Not day one necessarily, but first round probably, but you get a starter there. The other thing is he's painted himself into this corner, you know. I'm not saying he didn't get significant enough free agent signings, but he didn't make the big splash as people often like to say, and he didn't get the big ticket item in terms of price. So they have to have starters coming out of the draft. And yet again, I tweeted this, I said it earlier in the show. For those who weren't listening, I feel stronger today than ever after listening to Brian Gain, and we have those cuts. Of him talking, that they are going to trade back out of the first round.
Here's the Texans GM right here.
If you're taking a guy in the first round, you're anticipating them being an impactful starter or being a starter. Taking a guy in the second round, you're hoping he's going to start pretty quickly, but at least be an eventual starter. If you're taking a guy in the third round, I think you're hoping that he's going to at least be a contributing player early on, depending on what his position is. He might have longer range potential to start. So in my mind, I'm thinking if I'm taking these players at least in the first three rounds, at some point we should be acquiring potential starters.
Another part of that, though, that is never really mentioned is the politics involved. There hasn't been a general manager yet that bails on a third round pick after 1 year, just because they don't want to make themselves look bad. So there's some politics involved. It's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. He's going to be a contributor because I drafted him, and I don't want to look bad. So there's a little bit, take it with a grain of salt, but ideally you get players that everybody acknowledges are contributing players in the NFL. You know what I mean?
Landry Locker, John Lopez in the Loop, Sports Radio 610, reacting to things that stuck out from what Brian Gain said earlier today when he met with the media. This is my thing. This is my.
He did play 1 year.
He did play one year,
Sean Pendergast.
This is my other thing about what Brian Gain said that I think very much has to stick out, and I think it has to go hand in hand with what we're talking about right now. It's cool that he thinks that, right? It's cool that he hopes that anyone he drafts in the third round, because you should think highly of guys that you drafted him. It's cool that he thinks they should be starters.
And there's politics
involved. We haven't really seen him have that many drafts. So if that is the case, then maybe he's given Rankin the benefit of the doubt in that he can be plugged in as a starter this year on the offensive line just because of that. And maybe we're going to have a Brian Gaine who's married to his draft picks to a fault. I think of all the things, as far as trust in Brian Gaine, the one thing we need to look at is how Rankin looks this season. Now, is Rankin a guy that you plug into your offensive line and he plays? If he does, then it's going to make Brian Gaine look very, very good. But if you trust Rankin as much as he appears to trust Rankin, that he can be a key contributor to this offensive line, and he goes out there and he, for lack of a better term, wets the bed, it makes you look very bad. And it makes me, as someone who wants the Texans to do well, a little bit scared that this is going to be another guy that, despite the fact you know what some of the weaknesses are on this team, he's going to be loyal to guys almost to a fault and not only put his team in harm's way as far as losing games, but put the franchise quarterback in harm's way as well. Rankin and Brian Gaine are connected at the hip. This is a guy that I think I don't want to say his whole credibility's on the line, because a lot of times guys have bad draft picks, but Rankin is a notch on the credibility of Brian Gaine this year.
Martinez Rankin is the perfect example, Landry. I mean, the perfect example. And to be fair, he may well, you know, be a stud, you know. But what I'm saying is, he said in today's press conference that he considers Chantrell Henderson and Matt Khalil competing for the
Julian Davenport,
excuse me, and Khalil competing for the. For the left tackle position.
God, that's a pillow fight.
He's also,
I like Davenport, though,
said raving things about Rankin
and Chantrell.
And that's the politics.
You would think they had the Cowboys offensive line. If you didn't know, like, let's say you went to prison. I don't know what, money laundering or something like that. John Lopez money launderer, Ponzi scheme or something like that. Use the Bite Me podcast. You sure and Scott Noll are both going to jail.
Not sure if I really appreciate that.
You're in jail.
All right, so we're in jail. It makes sense.
You've been in jail for 2 years. You come back. You haven't been able to watch any sports or anything. And you listen to Brian Gaines' press conference. It's the first thing you've heard from the Houston Texans. You haven't seen him play in 2 years. If you heard him talk about these offensive linemen, you would think they had the freaking 90s Cowboys offensive line with how he talks about these guys.
But that's my point. Maybe Rankin is going to be a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro, but they're not going to bail on him after 1 year because they drafted him. You know, if he has another bad year or even worse, then you can start talking. But, and it's not just him. I'm talking about every general manager. I mean, this organization has had guys like who was the cornerback that they held? You know, they had
Kevin Johnson.
Well, him for sure is one because he's a first rounder. But I was actually thinking of the second rounder, Sean, the second round cornerback from
Harris.
Harris. They held him for 4 years, and he was awful.
My gosh,
he was terrible. They traded up to get him.
Yeah, and that wasn't because he was kicking ass and showing progress. It's because they drafted him.
His Twitter was no fly zone.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, all right. As you were, fellas.
We'll get back to you.
I feel bad. I felt bad for Brian Gaine because you can tell that he really loves this draft process. Mm-hmm. How hard do you think it had to be for him last year to watch the first two rounds? Because I can relate to this. Like in 1996, I got in trouble at school and I got a note sent home to me to give to my mom.
Right.
I forgot what I did, but I did something and I had to give her the note.
Dear Mrs. Locker.
Yeah.
We're very disappointed in your son.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So I held on to the note for a week. I didn't tell my mom anything.
What grade were you in?
I believe this was sixth grade.
Okay,
sixth
so you're grade, probably tugging on some girl's ponytail or something.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, our school was a little more advanced than tugging on ponytails, so who knows what we were doing. But I forgot to give my mom the note, and the school had to call my mom and tell her that I got in trouble. You know what my punishment was?
What's that?
I was not allowed to watch the first ever Big 12 championship game between Texas and Nebraska, and I had to sit in my room with my alarm radio and listen to the first ever Big 12 championship, one of the biggest upsets Texas has ever had, and I was just sitting there, and it was the hardest thing that I've had to do. That's what I think Brian Gaine was doing when he had to watch those first two drafts.
I think you're right. He's a draft nerd.
First two rounds of the draft.
Strikes me as a draft nerd. By the way, you know, radio can lead to some great memories in terms of your sports fandom.
Spoiler alert. As soon as it looked like Texas had a chance, my dad let me come in there and watch the final 8 minutes. But it was hard, and I bet that's how Brian Gaine felt. 713-572-4610 to get in. Always like hearing from loopholes. Let's go to the phones. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hello! This is Gupta again. What's up, guys?
Hey!
So my prediction for the Texans is I think they might mess around and get a go 9-7 this season and then mess their way into the wild card. And Pavtex told me that if we do make it to the playoffs, he would dunk his nuts into an icy.
Okay.
Who's drinking that icy is what I want to know.
He's going to drink it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. If the Texans
what?
Let's see. Pavtex, can you confirm or deny this?
Man, that boy is tripping, bro. That boy is lying, boy. You know that boy is lying. Hey, I got my prediction.
All right.
Go ahead, Pave.
You already know what it is.
We're going 0-16. Go ahead.
Nah. You know what? We going 4-12, baby. And you know what? You better not hang up because ain't nobody telling us nothing.
He just hung up.
Yeah.
I need you to shut the hell up for the immediate future.
Yes. 11-5, baby. You can hear the breakdown at sportsradio610.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.